Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. I'm Amy Spreeman. I'm here with Connie Stanfill, our Bible study teacher. Connie, welcome back.
Thank you.
We are in 1 Peter. We're all the way up in chapter 4, and today we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 19. Connie, what's sort of the theme for today?
Well, really, last time we were together, we talked about that Christ-like attitude. Today, we're going to talk about how that attitude works it out into our lives, our service.
All right. Well, why don't I read the verses for today, and then Connie will be teaching. Ladies, it starts like this. The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that everything in God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Amy. As we look at this, we're finding again, Peter is reminding his readers of how close Jesus' return may be. He says the end of all things is at hand or draws near. And Peter and the apostles were looking for Jesus Christ to return at any time. They didn't know the time or the hour, but they had been warned by Jesus to be ready. And so that's what they are he's talking about right there. So then he gives them advice or an exhortation about how to be living. And he says, therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded, or actually sound-minded, having a clear mind, a mind that's aware of the times, aware of the shortness of time. And it says, for the sake of your prayers, which is an interesting phrase. And it probably actually refers again to having the mind that is focused on God and being ready to pray. And it's the same word that Jesus used in Matthew 26:41. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's talking to the disciples and he's going forward to pray to the Father that God's will be done as he's going to the cross. And he returns to the disciples and he finds them sleeping. And his words to them at that time were, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so here again, the thought is for us to be prayerful women who are always looking to what God is doing, not wasting opportunities, not being caught up in things that are unimportant. And again, to be sober-minded in that way about prayer. And then he says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. This is the second time Peter has said this to us. He said it before in chapter 1. And the whole idea, again, is to continue to love one another, especially brothers and sisters in Christ, earnestly. And that word, like we talked about before, is an athletic term. It's the word of a runner straining toward the finish line of the race. And so every muscle, every sinew in the runner's being, is stretched and striving for a goal. This means that we are to love in that same way, fervently, deeply, to strive and strain to love. And I don't know about you, Amy, but this helps me understand a little bit why I struggle sometimes to love the people that just are difficult for me.
Extra grace required sometimes, EGR.
Exactly. And so we find from Peter that we need to make it a practice of loving people.
Yes.
And that's good. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, he gives us the ability to do that. But we have to realize it, and we have to pray, and we have to desire God's way. And Peter goes on, and then he says, since love covers a multitude of sins. Mm. That's a good word, because each and every one of us still sin, and we do things that hurt one another, and we, even beyond that, we just have human tendencies that are annoying or quirky or difficult, and God's love covers all of that, and to understand that helps so much. And actually, there's a proverb that says that exact same thing, which is really quite beautiful. It says that hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all offenses, which is a good word. And we have a passage from Romans 13:8-10, which we're going to read to you. And again, it speaks again what it is to love people, to love one another.
It says this, actually, it says, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law.
Yes, and we remember what Jesus said when he was asked what the two greatest commandments were. The one was to love Lord your God, and then the second was to love your neighbor as yourself. And so, again, love sums up the law. We could talk about 1 Corinthians 13, which is in your homework assignment, but it's probably familiar to most of you. But truly, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Mm. When we consider this kind of love, this is the same type of sacrificial love Jesus Christ had for us. And that's why we are to be imitators of God as beloved children. Ephesians 5:2 talks about, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Those are important things for us to remember. And again, that idea of love covering a multitude of sins. There's a few other verses in the study guide talking about that and how as believers we can have great impact on one another through that love. But I'm going to go on here in 1 Peter chapter 4 and just talk about verse 9, which says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. And that word for hospitality literally means stranger love. And back in that day when there weren't very many inns or places to get food, to truly welcome others into your home and give them a bed to sleep in and food to eat was to show hospitality. But we know it's also an earmark of the early church because several of the passages about what an elder or pastor was to be about is one of their requirements was that they be hospitable. And we ourselves, like that, are to be hospitable without grumbling. Notice that, too.
Without grumbling, yes.
And then verse 10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And we are reminded of all of those passages in the New Testament about spiritual gifts and how it's actually God who chooses who gets what gift. And the purpose of the gift is for the body, for the building up of the church. And we have those listed in the study guide also, which is a beautiful thing. There is a neat passage in Romans which kind of sums it up, and so I'll have Amy read that to us, and we can talk about it.
All right, this is one of our favorites. I know Nancy loves this verse too. Romans 12:3-8. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, and the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness.
And that isn't that a beautiful passage,
yeah,
about just the varied, multicolored ways God has made us and fit us into the church, again, as living stones. And so each one of us is indispensable and has some precious ability and gift to give to contribute to the church. And that's a good thing.
It is indeed. Thank you, Connie.
We're also going to read just the rest of the chapter and talk about it briefly. The next verse we're studying here, verse 11, says, whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God or words of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. We understand that as believers, we have no strength on our own. We have no words on our own. We have no ability to love or serve. But when it's the Holy Spirit in us, the Spirit of Jesus Christ controlling us and guiding us and directing us, and we are obedient to where he's leading, beautiful things happen. And it's, again, God's words coming through and God's hand serving and all those beautiful things of showing the world who our God is by how we treat one another. Truly a beautiful, beautiful thing. And we need to remember again that it's never our strength, it's never our words that does anything. It's only those acts of love in faith that are prompted by the Holy Spirit. And Paul himself wrote those things to us also when he's speaking to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 3:5 and 6. He said, "Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be the ministers of the new covenant." And that's how it is for us also, as we allow God's Spirit to guide and control us and use us. A beautiful thing happens because God is glorified and we have the privilege of serving him. And then, like Peter says at the end of this verse, God be glorified through Jesus Christ. And then he ends with a benediction, a claim of praise. He says, "To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen."
Amen. Oh, Connie, thank you for this lesson. And ladies, I hope this has blessed you today. There is so much more to explore in the study guide as you'll be searching the scriptures for these beautiful truths that Connie has shared. Do go and read those either on your own or with a group of ladies that you can teach and counsel and help one another sharpen each other in the Word of God. And then, of course, these 10-minute podcasts that we're doing are also available as part of your study time in the Word. All right, well, Nancy and I are going to be right back. We're going to talk a little bit more about this, so I hope you can stick around.